Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, who's Peter, and then of the 12, and then that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom a greater part remain unto this present day, but some of are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And at last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And so, if we go back a little bit before the crucifixion, I have a little slide here for, and this would be something that is very strange, because this is by the Valley of Hinnom. I think that's it. Well, if you look, you can see the cliff. Okay, there's green grass and there's a cliff. The thing that's interesting, anywhere the Muslims can put a grave site, they put a grave site. The wall, the Jerusalem wall, on the outside of the wall is full of graves. And then you have the valley, the Kidron Valley next to that, but it's all the way down to the Kidron Valley full of graves. But oh, there you go. This is about 2 or 3 football fields. And this is the field of blood. In fact, if you go to the left of there, down in the bottom of the valley, there is a mosque. And guess what the name of the mosque is? The Mosque of Blood. And it has a red dome. Normally they have a gold dome or a black dome or a gray dome. Well, this has a red dome. And so even the Muslims acknowledge that this is the field of blood that was bought for 30 pieces of silver by Judas, or not by Judas, but by the Pharisees. And there are no buildings, because in the Bible it says it's going to be dedicated for the field of blood. And for 2,000 years. And now everywhere you look, the Muslims have grave sites. The Jews have grave sites on the south side of Mount of Olives. But that really, because we looked out the wall and we saw that this was totally empty, just like prophecy that was said that it was going to be clear to this day. And I guess they think there's something that's that is very scary for them. Now, I had 2 pieces of paper here. Oh, no. Well, I will find it. I know I had 2 pieces of paper.
Up on the platform earlier. I might have put them down here. Is all of this yours?
No. Nope, 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 nope. It's like this.
I looked at it. I didn't think it was yours. I thought it was pastor's.
Here it is. Found it.
Good.
Found it.
Good.
Okay. All right. So, this is found in Matthew 27 and verse 3. Matthew 27 and verse 3. And it says here, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the high priest, saying, I have sinned, that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to you? See to that yourself. And he cast the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And then he went and hanged himself. And he actually fell down that cliff that you can see right there because the tree broke. And then the council took and they bought a potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the Field of Blood unto this day. Now we're going to go to Gordon's the Gordon's garden, the tomb. This is actually Mount of Olives. That's next. We're going to go to Gethsemane. As we were coming by bus, I took this picture, and the olive trees are there. Obviously, those are not the ones that were there. There is one tree there that's 2,000 years old that I'll show. Now, this is the garden itself, and some of these are older trees. A little bit hard to see, but normally, around the tree, as in the Psalms, it says, there are shoots that come up out of the roots, and it grows new trees, okay? But the 2,000-year-old tree, let me go back. This is a Catholic church that is built at the spot where Jesus prayed, and he sweat and cried and the tears of blood. Notice at the top on the right and on the left, there's like a vase. Well, normally they're about this tall. And the psalm that you used about the tears, well, there's another psalm that talks about that he captured his tears in this little vial. And the Catholic Church built that. This is the only Catholic Church in the world that points west. And I'll talk about that when we get to the map that I have a little bit. All right, here is the Catholic Church that is at the bottom of the Kidron Valley, right there by the Garden of Gethsemane. That would have been the entrance to there. And then here is the tree. And if you look, right at the tippy top, straight right there, that branch was brand new. It came out in 1947. Okay? And it's the only tree that did this. And it came out in 1947, and that's how big it is today. And the significance is that the Jews believe that was a sign, because Israel, or the Jews, came back to Palestine, and it became a state, a nation again. Then, now we go to the map. All right, to the right is the Kidron Valley. See that road right there? A little more to the right. That's the road, that's the Kidron Valley, and then Gethsemane is just on the other side of that, okay? Now go south or bottom, that's the Hinnom Valley or the Valley of Gehenna, and then this is where Judas hung himself, okay? That was the garbage heap. The gate was the dung gate where they took all the refuse out to that valley. And then if you go back all the way to the right into the white area, all the way, there you go. That goes all the way to the Jordan River and then Mount Nebo, okay? And who was on Mount Nebo? Moses. He looked west. And if you go to the left now, you see that square right there. That's the Temple Mount. Now Mount Nebo is lined up. That Garden of Gethsemane is lined up exactly going west from Mount Nebo. And we believe that Moses actually saw Mount Calvary By the way, if you check it out in Unger's Bible Dictionary, Mount Moriah is also Mount Calvary. If you go to the west, outside the gate is where Gordon's Calvary is. And it all lines up. Mount Nebo, Gethsemane, the temple, and Gordon's Calvary. This is a wine press in Gordon's Calvary. And it's quite a large area. I guess the British in the 1800s bought the area. And then this is the mount of the skull. If you look near the top, it's kind of hard to see a little bit, but that's a 105 howitzer pointing towards Lebanon. I don't know if they wanted me to take that picture or not. But you can see that it almost looks like a skull, but here is a picture from the 1800s that was taken in the 1800s, and you can see the skull there. It's limestone, so it's been deteriorating. And then this is a diagram of the tomb. They didn't know exactly which one, because it got expanded over the years, and other people used it because, you know, Jesus wasn't there. As you exit the tomb, here's the sign. He's not here, he's risen. Then, of course, Mary Magdalene in Mark 16:9 was the first one to go to the tomb. And then she ran back to Jerusalem, which is, she would have had to go down the valley and back to Jerusalem, which is up on a hill. But she told Peter that the tomb is empty. And so then Peter and John run to the tomb, see that it's empty, but then she stays, and she actually sees Jesus. And then in Matthew 28:9, there were a number of other women. By the way, there are five different Marys in the Bible. One time in Puerto Rico, they asked me to do an Easter sunrise service, so I talked about the five women, the five Marys. All right. Then, the same day, there were two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and that is a picture. Now, the shadow doesn't show the road because we were inside the bus. But that's the road to Emmaus, where the two disciples met Jesus. By the way, if you read very carefully in Luke 24, you'll discover two names. They're actually named. Most people don't know that. I mean, but it's Cleopas and Simon, two different disciples. Then that evening, I don't have a picture for it that evening, but that evening, the 10 disciples were gathered together at Mary's house, Mary, the mother of John Mark, okay? And Jesus came to him, or to them, in his glorified body. And one of these days, according to 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to have that same body. We'll be able to go through the door, locked door, and so on. But Thomas wasn't there, and therefore he's called Doubting Thomas. But 8 days later, he's there. By the way, it doesn't make sense. You know, the resurrection was on the first day, right? But 8 days later, they're met again. Well, it's the German way of counting, or the foreign way of counting. You count the day. In fact, over in Vietnam, they counted when you came out of the womb, you were 1 year old. And so that's how they count. So different places count differently. And so 8 days later, it's still the first day of the week, they meet again, and Doubting Thomas, he says, "My Lord and my God," he falls down. He recognized Jesus and he recognizes that Jesus is God, you know, the Son of the Trinity. All right, then, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 6, he's actually seen by 500 disciples, okay? Now, there are some people that try to say, well, it was an illusion or some hypnotic trance or something. But 500 people actually saw him. And as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, some of them have fallen asleep. Some of them have died. But most of them are still alive. They were there, okay? Just like when I met Jesus, I know I met him because he changed my life, you see? And so this is beyond dispute. Now we come to the Sea of Galilee. We took a boat trip, and the fisherman, one of the locals, showed us how. Now, there weren't any fish out there because it was wrong time of day, but we didn't go out at night. But here is actually the shoreline, somewhere along this shoreline on the Sea of Galilee, where they had breakfast, and where Jesus talked to Peter. Do you really love me? And you've heard the pastor talk about the play on words, you know, agape and phileo, brotherly love or divine love. And so if you want to check it out, you can read it in John 21, verses 15 and following. Then, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 7, he met with James, his half-brother, you see. Next, we come to the ascension. Now, this is Bethany, and on the other side is also Bethany, but this is the area where Solomon kept his concubines and all his foreign wives. They were not in Jerusalem because that would have been sacrilege. But if you see that tower right there, that is actually a Catholic church. It's under renovation right now, so it's got scaffolding around it, or at least it did in 2014. But that is the place where it is believed that Jesus ascended into heaven. And the Catholics always have to build a building at any of the given places. And by the way, they started back with Constantine's, the Emperor Constantine of Rome. His mother started some of that, and that's in the 4th century. Now, the Muslims didn't come around until the 6th century, but they have been ever since building mosques in very important places. And they actually tried to build a mosque at the tower, the Twin Towers in New York City, because wherever they build a mosque, that becomes their state, you know, part of their state. And so, like I said, the Mosque of Blood, Omar's mosque is built right near where the Jewish temple was. So you can see that it's there, and this is where Jesus is going to be coming back. Now, he gave us two ordinances, right? He gave us baptism, which shows the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christian. Once I trusted in Christ as my Savior, I had religion before. I had gone through, in fact, my father actually dodged the bullets and the bombs in the city of Braunschweig, Germany, to get me, when I was 8 days or 6, 7 days old, to get me to the Lutheran church so I could get sprinkled. And so I'm an Anabaptist because I got baptized after I got saved. I was baptized in Fort Dix, New Jersey, at the chapel. Because the First Baptist Church of Wrightstown, New Jersey, didn't have a baptistry yet. They were in army barracks, converted into a church. And so there was a baptistry at Fort Dix, and so the pastor took me there to get baptized. And I was in the Air Force when I got saved. Then we have the Lord's Supper, which is in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, we have it in the Gospels too, but Paul talks about it in a very concise manner. And he says in chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This is the cup of the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." And that's what I want to talk a little bit about next. And that is that in Israel now, you can see the menorah that is 450 pounds solid gold. And that's going to be in the temple during the tribulation period. They're getting ready. This is at the site, what they call the museum of the temple. And it's near the wall, the Wailing Wall. But inside and I didn't take a picture of it, but they have a lot of the equipment that the Pharisees would use to get ready for worship. Like, they have about the size of that bench, but it's about two stories tall, a huge copper vessel, and then at the bottom they have spigots where the priests would wash their hands and to get ready to be clean before the worship. And so they've been collecting things all over for the temple. And I happen to believe that Jesus is coming again very soon. Now, Paul believed that he was coming very soon. In the year 1000, you had people that actually went in the hilltops. Each time during the Reformation, there were people that, you know, believed that, and so there's a history of the second coming. But it looks to me, and again, it would take another hour to talk about the prophecies and the things that are happening. But one of the things that is very definite to me is when people call good evil and evil good, and that's a sign. And now, I started off at Moody Bible Institute in 1967, right after I came back from Vietnam. And there were things there that I could not agree with, even though the Bible teaching was great, but the lifestyle of the students and so on. So God started Maranatha Baptist Bible College in 1968, and so we moved to Wisconsin, and then I graduated from Maranatha with a BA and an MA, and then we went to Bob Jones University and to study. I wanted to get another master's degree in history, and so then, because by that time we had 9 children, I could go a semester. I would have to work and go a semester, and I'd have to work. And then in 1979, Dr. Cederholm, president of Maranatha, asked me to come and teach German. So the last semester of 79, I took 17 hours of German in the spring semester. And I probably know Dr. Salter. He was one of my main teachers, because I came to America when I was 13. And so I did, you know, I had to learn English. I didn't know any English. In fact, one thing that happened, we got off the airplane, in New York City, and our sponsor came, and she had a little box. And she said, here's a gift. And all of us said, nein! We didn't want the gift, because in German, the word gift, spelled the same, sounds the same, in German, it's poison. And we didn't want any poison. So, anyway, my mother and five children came to America, and since I was the oldest boy, I had a dictionary, and they sent me to go to the store, and I would point to things that I wanted. But Jesus is coming again, and let's look at 1 Thessalonians, and verse 4, or chapter 4, and verse 16, starting with verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, as I said, I asked Jesus into my heart while I was in the Air Force in January 3rd, 1963. And he changed my life. And while I was in Vietnam, the Lord allowed me to hold a Bible study, even though my shift was from midnight to 7. And my job was to make sure that the airplane, the 150 airplanes were ready to go in the morning at 7 o'clock. And so from midnight, normally the second shift took care of all the discrepancies, or they call them gigs. So if there was a problem with a plane, they would fix it. Now if there was something laid over, then I was one of them that would have to continue fixing it. But from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning, I would check the airspeed indicator. Okay, that's one of the indicators that's vital for takeoff. If you're not going the right speed, you're not going to go up. And we did have a couple of airplanes that didn't go up, and they dropped the bombs and the napalm and everything at the end of the runway, but there were people living there. And then we had to find out why. Well, the pilot had forgotten to put it in afterburner. But anyway, he tried to blame it on us. But anyway, so I held Bible study, and I did have some young men saved. I was witnessing to them. And then after Vietnam, that's when I went off to Bible school. And then 5 years I taught at Maranatha, and then we moved to Bob Jones University to be the maintenance manager. We were there for 10 years, and during that time, our children met their spouses at Bob Jones, and very good place to have children to meet spouses, and praise the Lord, all of them have wonderful in-laws. Many of them in the ministry, and so it was a very nice uniting that the Lord did there, and we just praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Now, as I received, because for years, as a Lutheran, I went through the motions. I was an altar boy. I lit the candles. I went through catechism. But I had a head knowledge of what Jesus did. I knew a lot of the stories of the Bible. But it wasn't in the heart. It wasn't until that day, the day that I acknowledged that Jesus is the Lord and Savior, that came to the earth for my sins. And he came to the earth for your sins. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And right now, if you've never asked Jesus or trusted in what he did for you there on the cross, today could be the day of your salvation, and he can change your life, and he did for me. And I've never been the same since. And we spent 10 years after the baby got married. I said to my wife, what are we going to do? We had a nice house there in Greenville. I had taken it from 3 bedrooms, and I made the basement into 3 more bedrooms and 2 more bathrooms, and the house was empty. What are we going to do? And my wife says, she didn't know, but the children were gone, and she was bemoaning the fact that we had an empty house. And I said to her, am I not better than 10 sons? And she said, you know, that question was never answered in the Bible. But we spent 10 years in Puerto Rico after the baby got married and teaching. Well, at first I went there just as maintenance. In 1998, my son David and Mark and several other, and Bob, that's married to the baby. Back then, he wasn't married to her yet. They were just dating. But in 1998, the church there in Puerto Rico, Calvary Baptist Church, needed to move. And so our Faith Baptist was going to send a team down in August. But August is the time that Bob Jones starts up. And so I couldn't go in August. So about 6 of us went down to help them. And we built, Pastor Daniels had the foundation of a trailer that the termites had eaten up. And so he had put a new floor in, but that's all. And so in 1 week, the boys and I built bathroom facilities for 450 kids in Christian school. And we had 6 stools. We'd cut the 40-foot trailer in half. Half of it was girls, the other half was boys. And we built it, and Pastor Daniels would come to Bob Jones to recruit teachers. And so it was one of my jobs to make sure that the dating parlor, the temperatures were good, and they had electricity and all of that for their displays. And so I would see Pastor Daniels, and after a couple of years, I said, you know, because the baby was married, I said, if you ever need any help, holler. Well, he hollered. And so in 2001, we went on deputation, and 2002, we arrived, and I worked there. But remember what happened around that time. Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, and the assistant pastor, Pastor White, was in the National Guard. And so I had 3 days to get ready for third year Greek, which I was, every night I was ahead of the students. I mean, I had had 5 years of Greek, so I minored in Greek, so no problem. And I helped the kids when they were getting their degrees or masters and so on at Bob Jones. I helped them a little bit with their Greek. And so after that, then Pastor White was gone for a year. Second semester, they added some Bible classes because I do have a master's degree in Bible. And so then we taught. And in the mornings, I started at 7 in the morning till noon, and then 1 to 5, I would do maintenance. Well, after a couple of years, they added another maintenance man, and he took over the maintenance department, and I went more into teaching. So then after 10 years, we came back to Michigan, but then I went to teach block classes in different islands like Grenada, Barbados, Bahamas, Dominican Republic. Anyway, I taught block classes 2 weeks at a time, and then the students there at night, they worked during the day, they could take the classes, and if they completed everything, they could come to Calvary in Puerto Rico, and instead of 4 years, they could graduate in 2 years. And so now there was a school in on an island, St. Vincent. It's called the Caribbean Baptist Bible College. And it's been on and off without teachers and so on. But Pastor Daniels is in the process of starting it up again. And so he wants me to come to St. Vincent. It's another little island right next to Barbados. And we'll be going there to teach block classes. But in between, and probably in January. And then while we're there, because it's very expensive to fly down there, while we're there, I'll set up meetings again in Barbados and Grenada, and then we'll teach block classes there. So we'll be gone for a month or 6 weeks or something like that to do that. But a number of our graduates, we have now 115 graduates that are on different islands. There are some in Bolivia. There are some in Venezuela, Mexico. They're all. In fact, there's one in Ireland and Zimbabwe. We have two couples in Zimbabwe that now they've wanted. When I visited my daughter in Africa, they wanted me to come and visit, but the situation, I didn't feel it was too healthy right now with the political situation there. And same way with Venezuela, they wanted me to come, but I'm going to wait a little bit. So anyway, praise the Lord that he's good. And if any of you have never trusted in Christ, today would be the day. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We pray now that you would continue to bless Pastor Glatfelter and give him a relaxing time, renew him and refresh him. And we just thank you now for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Zimmer, for good message report.